You can be seated if you're through worshiping the Lord. God is good, and I feel Him in this house today. And I would say anything in the world is possible here today because Jesus is here. I want to speak to you about something. I'll just preach to me today. If some of it gets on you, then okay. But the title of my sermon is See, Say, and Do. And if you say it all at once, like see, say, do, it's like I learned a new word in another language. See, say, do. But we have to see, we have to say, we have to do. And Ralph Waldo Emerson said that a man is what he thinks about all day long. What you think, you become. Which is backed up by Proverbs 23. Which says, for as he thinks, as a man thinks, so he is. So it's a new year, and there's always a lot of motivational sermons about, resolutions, things we want to do and all those things, kind of start the new year out. Read the Bible through in a year, whatever. Well, you know, that's really a good thing, but could I say to you, it's really not a checklist item. It's not a checklist. I just read it. Oh, I got that out of the way. No, it's a relationship issue.
That's right.
You want to read it through, that's a great thing. But don't make it a checklist item. So I want to talk to you a little bit about intentional planning. I just want to take a few minutes to do this, then I'll preach to you. But I want to encourage all of us this morning that if you can see and you can believe, you can achieve. If you can see it, and if you can believe it, you can achieve it. I know several millionaires that didn't start out millionaires. They started out as broke as anybody else, but they could see being a millionaire. They believed in themselves. They believed in God. And today they're millionaires. And so if you can see and believe, you can achieve it. It's not a power of positive thinking moment. It's not that. It's not a J.W. Armstrong moment. It's a Philippians 4 moment. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yeah.
It's biblical. So I want to talk a little bit about goals, and then I'll move on off of this. I want to talk about 5 things that will help you increase if you do them. There's a thing about gun safety. I think a lot of people know this. And I don't know if it seems a little hot today, but you decide that. There's a thing about gun safety that you don't flag a gun. You can have the clip out, you can have the chamber locked open, but you don't do this. And you just don't do that because you'll hit whatever you aim at. And could I say if you aim at nothing, you'll hit that too. You'll hit that. So I want to talk just a few moments about intentional planning. You may have, you may say, I want to lose weight. It's 2026. That always seems to be the go-through thing at the first year. But that's not, when you say I want to lose weight, that's really not a goal. It's a wish. A goal has to be specific. A goal has to be measured. And a goal has to have a timeline. I want to lose weight. Well, how much weight do you want to lose? When do you plan to do that? You going to do it this year? You talking about next year? When are you planning on doing it? And so it has to be specific, has to be measured. You might say, I want to lose 30 pounds. Well, okay, that's specific, and it's measurable. But when? When do you want to lose 30 pounds? So I just, because, you know, I could stand to do that myself. I'm kind of like my cousin Gene, always wanted to be a big preacher. I'm kind of getting there. So some of you get that on the way home. But anyway, so it has to be specific, measurable, and with a time limit. So when do I want to do this? Well, let's just say that by April 1st, in 90 days roughly, I want to lose 30 pounds. Well, what do I have to do to bring that into reality in my life? What do I need to do? Well, if I get my calculator out and divide 30 pounds by 3 months, I get 10 pounds a month. And if I divide that down by weeks, I come up with 2.5 pounds a week. And that sounds a whole lot better than 30. It's a little more motivating than 30. And it's achievable. I know, I'm talking to me now, not to you, I know that I need to cut out everything that I love. Bread, pasta, yeah, pie, cake, cobbler. Oh, let me catch my breath. You know what I'm saying. So I have to set a specific goal, measurable goal with a time limit. If I did that for 30 days, I would lose 30 pounds. I would do that. Even if I didn't quite make 30, if I only got to 24, I wouldn't count it a failure. I'm much closer than I am away from it. You understand? So I have to stay motivated. And serving God, you have to stay motivated. Zig Ziglar said that motivation doesn't last, neither does bathing. That's why we do both often. Do you need ramped up every once in a while? I certainly do. I need some input from other ministries, and I need a little shot in the arm once in a while. Number four, the goal needs to be yours. If I was at a coffee shop and run into a guy that was a dentist, and we were just talking, and he said something like, you know, I didn't really want to be a dentist, but my mom just really wanted me to go to dental college. I would never go to that guy. I want somebody that from the time they're 15 years old, they can't wait to become a dentist. And they want to help kids not be afraid of going to the dentist. And they just really have a passion for it. I don't want to sit under a pastor whose grandpa was a pastor, whose daddy was a pastor, and they just wanted me to follow along in their footsteps. No, I want somebody that's so on fire that no demon can put it out. That's who I want to sit under. So you have to own the goal. It has to be yours. If you're going to be a preacher, be a good one. Make sure God called you. Make sure you just weren't walking through the woods and heard a limb snap. Make sure it's God. There's a tremendous amount of responsibility on you if you want to be a preacher. You can read about that. I think it's Peter says that. Because the weight of your words on the people that you minister, you will account for it. So you have to own it. And number five, it has to be written. Write your goals down. If you write them down, more than likely you will do them. But if you just say it in passing, you know, I'd really like to lose weight this year, probably not going to happen. So it has to be written. There's power in planning, and it boils down to behavior modification. Success, here's what success is: taking action to move toward your goal. How many know it starts today? How many know it's not, well, when February gets it? No, it starts today. January, what is this, the 4th? January 4th starts today. This is the beginning of the new year. February or March is not the beginning. You're getting into the second quarter by then. So it's behavior modification. I'm going to give you three more points. A lot of points today. Number one, renew your mind. Remember what I just read to you? For as he thinks, so he is. Think differently. As a Christian, we're already ahead of the game, and Todd opened up with this morning, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We are new creations in Christ. That's a jump on anything. Paul teaches in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren. That beseech word is I implore you. I am leaning on you. I am pressing you. I'm pushing you to live holy. By the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. For this is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Did you know that you, like me, control what goes on up here? We control that. And then, in our frailty, we can control it. When you get into this, then God really gives you like a booster shot of control. So you have to, number one, renew your mind. Number two, Scripture is our guidebook. It's our directive. It's God's voice. It's God's personal Holy Spirit. So we change the way we think. Number two, we rely on Scripture. And number three, we rely on the Holy Spirit. He is the paraclete that Jesus talked about that would come along beside you and lead you and guide you in all truth. I didn't make that up. Jesus said that. When the Spirit of truth comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, you feel what I'm feeling? He will lead you and guide you in all truth. If you need an answer, go to Jesus. If you need an answer, get in the Word of God. This is Jesus. If you need help, go to Jesus. He's got it. So this is the health care plan for the church. And I think if we rely on these things, don't rely on worldly consults or disciplines alone. If you have higher education, great. It's a wonderful tool. If you have, this March will be 43 years since God called us to full-time ministry. So I have a lot of experience. But I don't rely on that. I glean from that. I don't rely on that. I rely on the Holy Spirit. He is new. His mercies are new each day. Every morning. I can't go back and live in 1985. I'm living in 2026. And so I have to do that. If I want to move forward in my life, if I want this church to move forward, then I have to do better. Sometimes we need to look in the mirror, ladies and gentlemen, and say, you know what? It's not always the other guy's fault. Maybe I need to make some changes in my life. Maybe I need to step up the discipline in my life. Maybe I get a little bit more, could get a little bit more regimented about what God has for me in my life. Did you know that the Bible, David said, all of my days are recorded in your book. All of them. God, you know, you've got a plan for me. So I need to get busy about getting into it. So I have a support group right here in this church. I have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. We have pastors that are leading us in intercessory prayer every Tuesday night. We're not just getting together for a shoot the breeze session. We're coming together to worship the Most High God and ask Him and bring our petitions to Him. And we're communicating with Him, amen. On Wednesday nights, we have a Bible hour and prayer. We have connection groups. And then on Sunday morning, we have services like this where the Holy Spirit is so real. You can feel it even before they strike up the band. That's wonderful. Isn't that wonderful? So you have a support system. And so everything that we need to have an Acts chapter 2 church is right here in this house. I preached a message, several years ago. There's a miracle in your house. Did you ever read that story about Elisha and the widow who is losing her sons to creditors? And she calls out to the man of God, calls her pastor. Well, the first lesson is there, know where to go when you don't know what to do. And she says to him, my husband died, we don't have no money. They're gonna auction my boys off down here to auction down here to pay this bill. He asked her probably what seems like the stupidest question in the world, because he could see something she couldn't see. What do you have in your house? I don't have anything. I got a little bit of oil. Elisha goes, perfect, because you can see what God is going to do. And he says to her, see and say, he says to her, go borrow every vessel you can get your hands on until them boys come back and say, Mama, they're not another empty vessel in this town. They fill them all up, and the man of God says, go sell the oil and pay your bill. So there's a miracle in the house. You just got to look for it. There's a miracle in your house, in your tabernacle I'm talking about. You have to see it. You have to say it. You have to believe it. In 2 Peter, this is from the 1995 version of the NASB translation, because it's the only one that says the word see. It's one of the most powerful scriptures I've read in a while. Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus, of Jesus our Lord. Seeing, everybody say seeing. That means see it. If not with your natural eye, see it with your spiritual eye. We walk by faith and not by, you have to see it spiritually. So, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. My Lord, what a mouthful. Verse 4 says, for by these he has granted to us. Everybody say, he granted to me. Jesus granted to me. Let me hear you one more time.
Jesus granted to me.
Okay, it's personal. He granted to me his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Let me talk to you about Jesus for a moment. And you know this. Jesus, even though the Bible says that he was would be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us, in Isaiah, and then John says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was God incarnate, but let me tell you something. Jesus was 100% flesh. The difference between Jesus and you and I, Jesus had blood running through his veins that came from God the Father, and it was not tainted by Adam. We're all descended from Adam, and the blood was tainted. That's the difference. What I said all that to say that Jesus then in his flesh was divine. How many believe that? How many believe he was holy? Now, did you understand what I was reading there? Seeing that his seeing spiritually, seeing and knowing, it's not just the revelation gifts of knowledge and wisdom. It's seeing and knowing in the Spirit of God. Knowing. Some of you have heard me tell this so much. I'm ashamed to tell it, but it's powerful. Sister Pearl Ripley had boys that she'd get up and say, I thank God for saving me, sanctifying me, filling me with the Holy Ghost. Thank God for bringing all my boys back from World War II. 3 out of 4 were in World War II. God brought them all back safe. They're all saved, all of them, except one, Don. Pray for Don, but I know God is going to bring him in. That is seeing. She never lived to see it. But how many know that Don got saved? Because somebody said it, they saw it, and they said it, and God brought it to pass. Power in what I'm teaching you here today. So, that seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, and through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Paul said it like this, know ye not that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? We are the temple of God. We can have the divine nature of God. You can live holy. Somebody said, what is holiness? I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's when you're someplace by yourself. And there's nobody around you. There's not a camera up here in the corner somewhere. You have the opportunity to lie, cheat, steal, do wrong, and you don't do it because the Holy Ghost lives inside of you. That, my friend, is holiness. Do I cheat on my income tax and lie about it? Well, I'll move off of that. Go with me, if you will, to Joshua chapter 6. I may be a little long here today, but bear with me. So we have to see this. We have to say this. Precious and magnificent promises, and then become partakers of his divine nature. We have to see it. Do you have somebody in your family that's not saved? You have to start seeing them saved. I have made some declarations this year that I haven't said them out loud till right now. I'm seeing some things that family members are coming in because I see it in my spirit, and I'm going to be like Pearl Ripley. I know God's going to bring them in. Could you just agree with me, or if you do agree with me, say this with me. I believe God is going to bring them in Jesus' name. End of discussion. Start praising him for the outcome. Hallelujah, I feel that. Start praising him for the outcome. Because one of these mornings they come walking in here, and God does a wonder that only he could do. Whew. What he does. In Joshua chapter 6, out of the NIV, it says the gates of, verse 1, I'm sorry, the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went in, no one came, no one went out, no one came in. Could I stop right there and interject something? If you had any clue, If you're on fire for God, if you had any clue how terrified hell is of you, if you had any clue how terrified the devil is when you say in the name of Jesus, I see it done and I call it in. Hell trembles at the name of Jesus. Nobody came in and out of there. Why? Because of the Israelites. When you go on and read the conversation between Rahab the harlot and the spies that Joshua sent in, she said, "We have heard what your God did. There is no strength or no power left in any man in this city." Terrified of the people of God. Oh, I wish we could get that today. The devil's terrified when you pray in the name of Jesus. When you start coming together in prayer, when you start backing away from the table and say, I think I'll fast a little bit because somebody I know needs to get saved. So Jericho was barred up, closed up. Verse 2 says, the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I've delivered Jericho into your hands." I'm going to talk about that in a moment. I've delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once. Will all the armed men do this for 6 days? Have 7 priests carry the trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark, and on the 7th day march around the city 7 times. The priest blowing the trumpets, when you hear them, sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout, and then the walls of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priest. Let me back up a minute. In the first part of this, God said in verse 2, the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I want you to see something, boy. I want you to see something. I've given you the city. I have delivered Jericho in your hands." So over here, verse 6, Joshua, son of Nun, called the priest and said to them, "Take up the ark." Here's the "say" part. See, say. "Take up the ark of the covenant, have the 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it, and he ordered the army advance. King James says, proceed, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord. Now, I want you to look at something here for a minute. I want you to look at this image. Let's pretend that this is Joshua down here and his servant, whoever that is. And God has just said to him, look at here. Now, he already knows because the spies have been back and reported in. He already knows what Rahab said. He already knows all that. But God is saying, look at here. I've given it to you. Does that look like a destroyed city to you? That looks like a fortress that's impenetrable. It looks like that, depends on who you read, the walls were 30 feet high. Some accounts say that the walls were wide enough to drive a chariot around it. I don't know all of that detail, just what you read. Some of it's speculation. But this does not look to me like a city that God has said, I've given it to you. But Joshua could see something that evidently nobody else could see. Ladies and gentlemen, could we stand up in 2026 and say, I'm saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. I have a different kind of vision. I have Holy Ghost glasses on. I see things that most people don't see. Am I a superstar? No, I'm not a superstar. I'm just in tune with the Holy Ghost. And so God says to him, well, look at here. I give you the city. He did not physically, can you put that back up? I'm sorry. He did not physically see the city on the ground. This is what he saw. But he believed God. Ladies and gentlemen, look here. I am the Lord that healeth thee. See it. And then proclaim what God's word says. By his stripes, I am healed. Listen, I never deny the diagnosis. I've had some diagnosis. I don't deny that. But I defy the verdict in Jesus' name. Hear me. I don't deny. The blind man came to Jesus. He was as blind as a bat. And Jesus healed him. So I don't deny the prognosis or the analysis, but I defy the verdict because I know God's a healer. I can see it. I've had it happen in my life. So he didn't physically see a demolished Jericho. He looked at it. He saw what the Word of God said. It was closed up, locked down, guarded. No one came out. No one went in. But you know what? There's an old saying, and Brother Albert Moore used to sing this song at Eldridge, God put a rainbow in the cloud. I believe that when God shut Noah in the ark and it started to rain, God didn't wait till it was all over with. They maybe couldn't see it, but I think God started out putting a rainbow in the cloud because he was in covenant with him. You got to understand we're in covenant with Almighty God through Christ Jesus, and we have a rainbow no matter how cloudy it is. I trust in Jesus Christ, and I hope you do as well. So Joshua went to the priest. He told the priest, here's what God's going to do, and we're going to do this. God said, I don't want you to say nothing. Don't say a word. Can you imagine walking around there? Me and Rob's walking around this wall. We're just kind of toting along. Man, I caught a bass the other day. You ought to have seen that thing. And somebody else is saying, well, you know, I shot about a 12-point buck, you know. No, God said, I don't want you to say nothing. You know why? They'd had their turn with their mouth. For 40 years, all they did was moan and complain and gripe. And God said, I need you to shut up and watch what I can do. Sometimes we need to shut our mouth. Hello? Sometimes we need to shut our mouth and let God do the speaking. Amen? So God said it. Joshua bought into it, hook, line, and sinker. And if God said it in here, you and I ought to buy into it, hook, line, and sinker. Amen? So it is by his stripes that we're healed. So, have I gotten so attached to this temporary life that I live in that I can't realize there is an eternity beyond this, and a God that we serve is not just lip service on Sunday morning, but he is our healer. so we can believe that we can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And we can see things and do things and we can advance and we can proceed. You know what? It's important that we start seeing and saying and doing. Got to do it. Got to do it. The Lord makes a way because we know somebody. We got to see it, we got to say it, and we got to do it. I want to say this to you. You might think you don't have time to read the Bible. Let me run this by you. There's 89 chapters in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 89 chapters. If you read three chapters a day, did you know even if you're a slow reader, you can read three chapters before you can drink a cup of coffee? Three chapters a day. In 29 days, you will have read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In just 29 days. Wouldn't that be something to have under your belt if you've never done it? In just 29 days. What'd you do the last month? I read the four books. I read the Gospels. I got so excited about that, I started reading the rest of it. I started reading Acts. I started reading Romans. 1st and 2nd Corinthians. I just moved right on through. Are you hearing me today? Listen, it's deliberate. It's intentional planning. I'm going to do this, not because it's a checklist item. I'm going to do this because I need this. I'm going to do this because I see what God can do. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in a moment in this church that you're going to see change this year like you haven't seen for the better. But I'm just saying, it may look different, but it's going to grow. Because I feel God in the house and God is doing some things. And if we can get a hold of a few principles this morning about how could I be better? Well, I can set some goals. I can do five things. I can be specific. I can measure it. I can put a time limit on it and say, you know what? By the end of January, I'm going to read the four Gospels. That would be so good for all of us. I don't care how long you've been preaching, how long you've been teaching, to read it again. Because it's new every time you read it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to see some things in our spirit. And we're going to have to know some things. And we're going to have to say some things. And the Holy Spirit will reveal things to us if we look for them. If we look for them. We have to, what is the three things we have to do? Say it again. Our theme for this year, which is a dandy. I didn't come up with it, but it's a dandy. Grow on purpose. Grow on purpose. Make it a point to grow. If you're over a ministry in this church, make it a point to grow. Don't wait till the day of you have a ministry thing to try to start putting something together. As soon as you finish one thing, you know, it's kind of like making a house payment or a car payment. In 28 days, you've got another one. Well, in 28 days, you've got another meeting or whatever it is, or whatever you're involved in. Be intentional about planning. Say, oh, God, use me. I don't just want to have a meeting and be cute and do all that. I want your glory. Whatever meeting I'm in, our connection groups, whatever, I just want to be able to pray with people and lay hands on people. And, oh, yeah, I want a fellowship too. I love to eat. That's good. But I want to minister to people. And I think everybody here wants to minister to people. But it takes intentional planning to do that. Could I say to you this morning that there's so much power in here, I really hardly know where to go from here today. Other than just offer prayer for anybody that wants prayer. To try to encourage you to see what God's Word says. And be like my friend Pastor Callahan in Springfield. The doctors are giving him all this list of stuff. And they're asking, well, you know, I don't know what you think about all that. And he said, well, here's what I think about it. I hear what you're saying, and I don't deny it, but I know what God's Word says. That's really where I'm leaning. And I want to be an encourager this morning. I'm not here to pick on you if you have doubt or fear. That's so natural. Did you know fear comes to everybody? If you have fear, you're not an isolated case. I've heard things that doctors have said to me that's like, whoa. And boy, it's a jolt. But you have to say, oh, hang on a second. Hang on a second. Bring every thought into captivity. So hard to do. It's so hard to do. And the only way you can really do it is just get on your face and say, oh God, I've got to have you. Who was it that said that a while ago? Sister Willard. I've got to have you. If you're anywhere, if I know you, when you can't get above the drywall, God, I need to hear from you. I'm in a jam here. I love you. I serve you. I praise you. It's a wedding vow for me. In sickness and in health. For richer, for poorer. For better, for worse. I'm with you. And he's that way with us. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Even till the end of the age. You have to see that. Lo, I am with you. You have to see that in your spirit. You have to say, devil, hang on a minute. Get off of me for a second. God's word said he would never leave me nor forsake me. Me. You have to see that. Say it out loud in the devil's domain. Jesus Christ is my rock and my fortress. He's my shield and my buckler. He's my high tower. Amen. You have to see it. And then you have to say it. I told a man that got saved in my church years ago, and he'd been so backslid, mean and hateful, and just mean and hateful to everybody, even me. I didn't ever done anything to him. I didn't have to live with him. Thank God. But you know he got saved. It was late on a Sunday night. It was 10 or 10:30. His mom and dad lived down by Walnut Grove and by Springfield. I said, you know what? When you get home, call your mama. Get her out of bed. Call her up. I said, Mama, I got saved tonight. Get her out of bed. She won't care. Tell somebody when God does something for you. Tell somebody that God has brought you up out of the miry clay. Nobody tells your testimony like you do. Stand with me this morning, please. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is here in a great way this morning. I want to pray for you if you want to come. You need any gift? You want the baptism of the Holy Spirit? God wants you to have it. Need a miracle in your life? Need a healing in your life? Need help overcoming anything in your life? Do you need salvation this morning? Do you know Jesus? If you died before daylight tomorrow, would you go to heaven? Make sure you know that before you leave here. If something happened, because we have no promise of tomorrow, you only have today. And if you don't know the Lord, this morning is your moment to give your life to Jesus Christ. Start this year off with a bang. Not a firecracker. I gave my heart to Jesus moment. Would that be you this morning? Would you just be honest with yourself and be honest with the Lord? I need Jesus in my life. Would that be you? Step out and come down. Step out and come down. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. Don't let him tell you how embarrassed you'll be or how many people are looking around and all that silliness that he comes up with. No, just step out and come down here. So you know what? I need this Jesus you're talking about. I see what you're talking about. How God loved us so much that he gave his son and he died for us. I'm starting to see that. But I need to just repent. Hallelujah. God, have your way here this morning. Church, would you help me pray a moment? Jesus, in your name, Lord. Go ahead, girls. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Could I tell you this morning that Jesus came not only to save you, He came to set you free if you're bound by anything. He came to bind up the brokenhearted. It's interesting to me how many people you run through that are in church and they're doing good, but their heart's broken. Something's going on. Their relationships or family or whatever it is. And they just have a struggle. But I'm here today to tell you that if you could just give it to Jesus, He can handle it. He can handle it. Hallelujah.